Around the country, an increasing number of communities have started imposing curfews on teenagers. Curfews are only one of the ways adults try to monitor the behavior of teens. Whether it's a new test for drugs or a small machine that monitors what your youngster is doing in the car, technology is putting a new twist on teen surveillance. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
Werner Baumgartner, an Austrian-born chemist, had an idea. After unsuccessfully trying to use hair follicles to track criminals, he began to study the use of hair to detect drugs. In 1985, he got a hold of some hair from the dead romantic poet John Keats and found that more than 150 years later, it had traces of the opium Keats had used to fight the pain of tuberculosis. Enter the hair test for drugs, now used by some 600 corporations, still a small fraction of the number who use urine tests. Ray Kubacki, the current president of PsychMedix, the company providing this test, says the hair test is less embarrassing than the urine test. An inch and a half of hair will tell you a person's drug history over 90 days. He contends that one can even distinguish a light user from a heavy one, and he claims you can't beat the system.
You can't bleach it out or dye it out, whereas ways of beating urinalysis are widely known. You can buy drug-free urine for $19.95.
And if you don't do drugs for a few days, you can beat the test. Now, the hair test, which looks for marijuana, cocaine, opiates, amphetamines, and PCP, is controversial. The New York Police Department is using it, and already there is a lawsuit from a cadet who claims a false positive. Blockbuster Video employees are given the test. Critics, including a former executive director of the President's Drug Advisory Council, calls the test junk science, while Kubacki says most critics have vested interests, like a stake in urine testing. Now, about a year ago, PsychMedix created the PDT90, a personal version of the test that parents could use on their kids. Just snip a little bit of hair, put it in an envelope, and PsychMedix will analyze it. Ray Kubacki.
The test had been used in the workplace for quite a long time. We made it available to parents because we got a lot of calls from parents saying, isn't there some way that we can get access to your patented technology that's being used in the workplace? And most of them said, because my 15-year-old knows how to beat a urine test.
And while the ACLU will fight a government's use of that test, like the case of the police cadet, Lou Maltby of the ACLU's Workplace Rights Project says the ACLU will almost never get in the way of a parent and child.
I would never dream of sneaking into my kid's room at night and snipping a lock of their hair and sending it off to a laboratory. But if some other parent wanted to do that, that's between them and their child, and the government and the ACLU should stay out of it, and we at least will.
Kubacki will not say how many of the personal kits he has sold, and no parents would talk on tape. But when one echoes the views of countless child psychologists and asks, doesn't this create a problem of trust between parent and child, Kubacki says the test is not to be used surreptitiously, it's dangerous to snip a lock of hair when your teen is asleep, and that hair and the hairbrush might be a friend's, and he says talk to your kid, establish a drug policy with the family. But at bottom, he believes knowing if your kid is a user is more important than other niceties. Now, this $75 test, or the $30 test from another company, where you can get samples by swabbing your child's desk or clothing, is not one that many families will admit they've done. But here's a little machine that touches close to home for almost every American family, even if in the end some people might not agree with its use. The subject, teen driving. The product, DriveRight, from Davis Instruments, a little machine that you can buy for $195. Russ Heilig is the product manager.
Well, DriveRight essentially is a little black box that sits in your car. It lets you know how fast you're going, how fast you're speeding, speeding up and slowing down, and basically will record that information as long as you have it in the car.
Jim Drucker, an attorney in New York, saw the ad for DriveRight in an auto magazine. DriveRight, the teenager's nightmare, it said. Drucker, who had told his son about his own driving escapades in his youth, perhaps a mistake, was already having his own nightmares about his kid's driving.
You know, I kept saying, I dread the day when he drives, and I know what I did to my parents, and it's coming full circle now, and nothing we can do. He's going to drive, and he's going to be a psycho, and, you know, there's nothing we can do. Then when I saw this, I figured maybe there's nothing we can do, but at least we can know what's going on.
Drive Right gives you a record of speed, acceleration, deceleration, and you can also set a beeper to go off at the speed the parent or corporation chooses. A sensor on the drive shaft of the car sends a signal to the device, and the speed is indicated on a display. You might set it at 60 miles an hour when your kid is driving on the freeway, but 40 when you know the route is just around town. So Drucker told his family about the article, and they joked about it. Then he bought one and never mentioned it again. He stuck it in the glove compartment of his son's brand new car.
And he was looking through the car, and we were driving him home from the airport. He was all excited, and this is incredible. I love this car. And he's looking through it, and then all of a sudden he saw the monitor, which I had Velcroed inside the glove compartment, and he went crazy. Then he got very quiet and angry after he called me an expletive. I think he views it as our attempt to emasculate him or to humiliate him, and I think he just doesn't want to think about it or deal with it.
Drucker's son did not want to be interviewed, and Drucker admitted that buying the Drive Right was the most hypocritical thing he had ever done, particularly given his own teen driving history.
Drag raced my father's car, put holes in the exhaust system with an ice pick to make it sound better, smashed through police barriers when they blocked off our drag strip and were waiting to arrest us. I mean, you name it. Got bullet holes in my father's car. I would have absolutely gone berserk if my parents had done this to me. And considering the way I was and what I did, it's just kind of hypocritical to expect my son to hold him to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm. But you're doing it.
But I'm doing it, I know.
Have you talked to him about your own ambivalence about it? Have you said, look, I know this is crazy, and I know this is hypocritical, and I know this is weird, but I've got to do it because I care about you? I mean, have you said something like that to
yes.
him?
Yes. His position is, and it's exactly what mine would have been, is then don't do it. If you feel so terrible about it, then don't do it.
And that's exactly what his son should say, says Mike Mayles, the author of The Scapegoat Generation, America's War on Adolescence.
The fact that has to be remembered is the teenager's behavior is going to reflect the behavior of the adults around them. And there's very little that can be done about that, either from a technological standpoint or a legal standpoint. Drunk driving monitors in cars are a very good idea. I mean, they ought to be in all cars and required of all drivers, not just adolescents. Speed monitors, the same thing. And the drug abuse problem among parents and among people in their 30s and 40s is so many times more serious than the drug abuse problem among teenagers, even though it gets no publicity, that we really ought to be looking at what should we be doing about the drug abuse problems of the generation raising today's teenagers.
Some teens have accepted monitoring devices in cars and have not felt it was a total violation of trust. Matthew White is now a college student in California. While in high school, his parents put a Drive Right in his car after a speeding incident.
At first, I was sort of upset because I just didn't like the whole idea of it.
That they didn't trust you or what?
Just the fact that they'd be monitoring me.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything from it? Or?
Well, I mean, it helped me sort of keep a watch of how quickly I was driving. It sort of grew on me, so I got used to it. It wasn't that terrible.
Now that he's in college, his sister Susan has the Drive Right, and she's not particularly thrilled either.
It's really annoying. It's like having... You know, if you go 1 mile over the speed limit, it starts beeping at you. It's really annoying.
Some educators and psychologists say if you don't think your kid can behave responsibly, then don't give them the car. Don't undermine the trust between parent and child. Don't be your child's cop. Some argue that these methods are underhanded and prove that the parent-child relationship was flawed to begin with. But Elaine White, Matthew and Susan's mother, says the Drive Right monitor gives objective information. A kid can't just say, no, I wasn't speeding, or everyone was going the same speed. And she says today kids are busier, life is faster, and teens are driving more.
A lot of them get their own cars right away, and they're putting in lots of hours on the road. We've seen, you know, a lot of A students, nice kids, responsible kids, and we've watched our son's friends all be in accidents.
Elaine White believes a monitor in the car is far less invasive than testing hair for drugs.
I don't see it as an issue of trust at all. With some of these other issues about whether the child is using drugs or doing some of these other things, that to me is a check on, have I taught my kid the right thing? Are they using good moral judgment? To me, driving is a skill that you learn.
We've had some where Drive Right was bought right after an accident.
Russ Heilig, product manager of DriveRight.
And in that case, we have very few people, and teens included, who will say, well, I just think that, you know, that you're not trusting me. It gets a little more murky when they first turn 16 and the parents decide, well, I want to make sure you're driving safely, and I think this is the best way to go.
It's like training wheels on a bike, was another analogy, this by the creators of TeenView, a low-tech $30 alternative to the DriveRight monitor. You know those signs on trucks, how's my driving? That led David and Marcia Siegelbaum of Scottsdale, Arizona, to start TeenView. It's a simple sticker you put on your kid's car that says, depending on your philosophy, my teenager is a good driver, or is my teenager a good driver, with an ID number and a phone number you can call to report problems you observe. Marcia's daughter Debbie, by the way, has never been reported, but she believes in the product.
They have a right to know where I'm going and where I am at all times and how I'm driving because they're responsible for me. So if I'm going 70 or 80 where I'm not supposed to, they should be entitled to know that, and I shouldn't be doing that in the first place. So,
but no one said something like, God, don't your parents trust you?
Oh, no, no one said that. I think the main issue for kids with this is that it's a little bit embarrassing to have on your car.
Because
I think it kind of shows the rest of the people on the road, oh, I'm a new driver. I don't know. It's kind of like a little stigma that you're a teenager.
And although she is perfectly willing to have the sticker on her car, Debbie is quick to point out that she finds all these other surveillance techniques offensive. And in case you were wondering, of those who have subscribed to the service, guess who has been reported the most? Speeding to work, speeding at lunchtime, speeding on the way to the beauty parlor?
I am sad to report that only one person in our subscriber group has been reported 3 times. That's me.
Marcia Siegelbaum, the mom who helped start the company, which gets us back to Mike Mayles, the author of The Scapegoat Generation. Historically, says Mayles, becoming a parent was one of the best ways to get adults to change their behavior. Today, we're seeing all kinds of behavioral problems among adults, he says.
Such as drug abuse, rapidly increasing violence among middle-agers, which is not discussed in the press. Normally, when you had a kid, you would try to stop those behaviors. Now we've got a technology to deal with teenagers, and so parents think, well, I don't have to change.
So there may be a whole generation of parents who, instead of changing their own modeling behavior, are using technology to catch their teenager in a fleeting moment, as those teenagers mimic mom and dad. I'm Margo Adler reporting.